The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans. Come on the Robins.
Music for Dragons by Apex Predator. A rather apt tune for our Ishman South Central League clash with our visitors today, the Dragons, also known as Basingstoke FC. The club was established in 1896 by a merger of Aldworth United and Basingstoke Albion. They joined the Hampshire League in 1901, but when the league was split into two geographical divisions in 1903, they were placed in the North Division. The Dragons now play at the Winkerbury Sports Complex, Basingstoke, which has a capacity of 2,000, and when at home, they wear royal blue outfits with yellow trim. In the 2003-2004, the club finished 14th in the Premier Division, entering a playoff against Lewis for a place in the new Conference South. Although they lost 4-1, they gained a place in the new league when Hendon decided against promotion. The following season saw Basingstoke make an appearance in the FA Cup first round, a 1-0 defeat at Cambridge United. However, after finishing bottom of the renamed National League South, they were relegated to the Premier Division of the Southern League. The club were placed in the Premier South Division at the end of the 2018 season, and as part of restructuring of the non-league pyramid, they went on to finish third from bottom of the division in 2018-2019, but were relegated to Division 1 South. At the end of the 2021 season, the club were transferred to the South Central Division of the Ishman League. Now, their palmarès is quite impressive, including third in the Conference South League in 2015, and their best FA Cup performance was the second round, 1990, 1998 and 2007. They also reached the third round of the FA Trophy in 1999 and 2004. Most appearances for the club was Billy Coombs in the 1980s, and their top goal scorer was Paul Coombs, who found the back of the net 159 times between 1991 and 1999. Their biggest win was 10-1 against Chichester City in the FA Cup first qualifying round in 1976, but their heaviest defeat was 8-0 while playing Aylesbury United in the Southern League Division 1 South in April 1979. The club's record attendance was 5,085 against Wycombe Wanderers in the FA Cup first round in November 1997, and their record league crowd was 2,810 versus Aldershot Town in the Ishman League Premier Division on the 26th of December 1998. Their record transfer fee paid was £4,750 to Gosport Borough for Steve Ingham. Now, when I was on the security team at Woking, in what was then known as the National Blue Square South, I remember witnessing some real humdingers when these two teams clashed, and was impressed at how they played defensively, but at the same time could cross the ball in on the sixpence. I remember Basingstoke always having a devoted, passionate, and if not, noisy following. Now, their motto, Vestigia Nulla Retrosum, means never a step backward. Well, let's hope the mighty Robins can push them back just a little.
This is your baby reporter, Gisu, bringing you all the news and views from Bracknell Town. I say, come on, you Robins.
A very good afternoon to you. Join us on the unofficial Robins podcast at Bottom Meadow, Bracknell Town versus Basingstoke. Huge, massive, gigantic gate today. Really quite exciting. Lots and lots of away fans, and yes, the atmosphere is building. We've got the team news now that's literally just come out, and dear Emma Whitty is going to go and give you the home side. It's Bracknell Town first.
Number one is Michael Ecott. Number two is Jack Dean. Number three is Ethan Burden. Number four, Temi Awika. Number five is Dan Bayliss. Number six, Scott Rees. Number seven, James Clark. Number eight, Anthony Cheshire. Number nine, Dave Tarpey. Number 10, Mikael Platt. And number 11 is Seb Bowerman. On the bench is Duncan Cully, Max Herbert, Shamar Moore, George Knight and Sonny Wheeler.
Thank you so much, Emma. That's really appreciated. And we've got Giles going to be doing the Basingstoke Town, the away fans here. OK, Giles, over to you.
One, Paul Strudley. Two, Aidan Lewis. Three, James Howarth. Eight,
Anton Rogers.
Anton Rogers. Five, Nathan Smart. Six, Daryl Wallace. Seven, Bradley Wilson. Four, Benjamin Cook. 10, Connor Lynch. 9, McCoy Palmer. Number 11, Simon Dunn. And on the bench, we have Stephen Brown, Lloyd Snell, Daniel Wilson, Dandre Brown, and Hal Holliday.
And that's Joel Holliday at number 23. Thank you so much, Giles. That it was a brilliant job by both of them. Absolutely fantastic. Well, we're going to be kicking off at 3 p.m. as per normal in the Isthmian South Central League. And, of course, we will be back with you at halftime for the halftime report. Yes, look forward to it then. The weather's looking a little bit grey up there with some nice, beautiful breaks in the cloud with some blue sky. But we shall see what's happening. I'm going to might get myself a nice cappuccino. I can smell the chunky chips burger and hot dog stand is back. So thank goodness for that. We did miss it, without a doubt. So thank you, as always, for listening to the unofficial Robins podcast.
You're listening to the unofficial Robins podcast.
Well, you join us here at Bottom Meadow at half-time for the game, Isthmian South Central Division, against Bracknell Town, against Basingstoke, where it is currently 0-0. And yes, I think it could be argued, Steve Whitty's with me, of course, as always, it could be argued that we're pretty lucky for a 0-0 draw at half-time. Quite a few chances Basingstoke have had.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think in terms of possession, I think Basingstoke have absolutely shaded it and have looked the more threatening team. But I wouldn't say that we've had many shots to actually save. So I don't think they've had many strikes on goal. So our defence has looked solid. But we haven't really brought ourselves into this game yet. So I'm expecting, you know, a little bit more possession. I'm expecting to show up that midfield a little more. Central part of the park,
And of course, Max came on to me before half time, about 5 to 4 half time. For Platt? We were sort of discussing a little bit that in the midfield, that seems to be where sort of things are lacking. So it seems good to have Max on, and we'll see what the second half brings. But definitely got to be a bit of a zest and a bit more gusto by Bracknell Town, I think, because my goodness, they are one heck of an opposition. Even more exciting, the roving reporter is just walking down now. Come on over, Guy, our roving reporter. He's probably been trying to get in there as per usual, you know, with all the players and such like, and having lots of success, normally with his elbows in, trying to get into the changing rooms. I mean, I do, and people get funny about it, but there we go, I don't know why. So anyway, Guy, what's your thoughts of the game so far?
Well, I pretty much agree with what you're saying, really. Disappointing to see Mikel come off, but like you say, I think we need that bit of a bolster in the middle. And I'm looking forward to maybe having a word with him afterwards, see how he feels, and get some quality time with some of the players after the game. So come on, you Robins.
Well, thanks so much, Guy, as always. And yes, really appreciate everything you do in terms of getting all of the hot stories around the club. We're going to be back with you on the Unofficial Robins podcast at the end of the game, where let's hope that we've got good news, but we shall see. And until then, thank you so much for listening to the Unofficial Robins podcast. Well, Charlie join us at Bodden Meadow for the final. And quite frankly, we both lost our voices. And the reason we've lost our voices is because we've won against Basingstoke. But my goodness, did they make it difficult? Did they make it hard? And it was an incredible result for Bracknell. But, you know, what an opposition, got to be said. Yeah, quite an amazing second half. And, yeah, we finally, when they equalised, it went to 1-1. And we just, yeah, we really did that thing we can do of going to another game, really. And it was just amazing to see. Yeah, what's your thoughts, Steve?
I don't know if I can talk. I genuinely think I might have lost my voice. I think Basingstoke were the toughest opposition I think we've faced this season so far. 1-0 up. They went down to 10 men. I thought that was it. But to be fair, Basingstoke brought it back to 1-1. And then it was all about them last sort of 10 minutes. We absolutely wanted it from there. And Dan Bayliss's header. Oh, God, there was no way he was going to miss that. Absolutely no way. So 2-1 victory. What a result. And we are top of the league. Come on!
We are top of the league.
We won!
And as I say, Dan Bayliss, you know, when he's in that position, you just know. You just know it's going to get in the back of the net. So an incredible big congratulations to him, the whole team. And the atmosphere here has just been absolutely electric with so many in the crowd. So next game is going to be FA Trophy, I believe, here on Saturday, 3 o'clock, against Tiverton. So we'll obviously want you to join us for that. But until then...
I caught up with ex-Robins player, manager and poet Steve McClurg, strategically placed behind the Basingstoke goal when Bracknell were awarded a free kick on 69 minutes down the right flank, with the score at 0-0. He confidently told me, "We'll score now, you watch." I was encouraged by his belief, but not convinced. However, Captain Marcus Herbert, back from injury, floated over a beautiful cross for Temi Awika to stoop low, heading the ball past the faltering Basingstoke keeper. Steve just glanced at me, gesturing and smiling, saying, "I told you." Now there's a man that speaks with decades of experience. Way to go, Steve.
Goal scorers Temi Awika and Dan Bayliss.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were fully there.
Our best year.
Yeah, I don't think we were fully there, but I mean, to come away with the 3 points,
yeah,
it kind of shows you how determined we are. Regardless of if we're playing well or not, we've got the fight to get through it, and yeah, it's a good feeling.
We're quite a close-knit group, so we know even if it's not our best day, we can still go out there and get the 3 points. It was just about fighting for each other. We knew we weren't at our best today. But it's all about going out there, not leaving anyone behind, and literally just fighting for each other to get the 3 points. And if you want to be up there in the season, those are the games you've got to win. Don't play your best, and you find a way to win. And I think we've got that at the moment.
Manager Bobby Wilkinson.
Yeah, no, been a tough week, real tough week for me and my family. Not been very well, but let's not dwell on that. It's all about getting the result, winning the game, and just staying top of the league and showing everyone that when we don't play well, we're going to dig something out. For me, worst performance since I've been here. Didn't play well, didn't get out of the traps, didn't pass the ball, didn't win tackles, didn't win headers. But what we did show, we showed a bit of guts and fight, didn't we? And that contradicts what I've just said there, but it was like, let's just keep fighting and not play well and let's stay at top of this mountain where we've climbed to get, and we want to stay there. We know it's going to be difficult, but we're going to give it our everything. I'm really passionate about it because we didn't deserve to win. Let's make that very clear. I'm not one of these other managers that talk a load of crap. Oh, we were this, we were that. We were second to everything, but we didn't lose. And I needed 3 points. And guess what? I would have took a draw. At 0-0. So that just shows you that what my boys have just done.
And the FA path. How do you fancy that next week?
Literally, I'll concentrate after tonight about that. But no, for me, it's all about the league. Just keep winning in the league. But if you do well in the cup, you know, it's a bonus, isn't it? It's a bonus for the club, the chairman. You know, I try and win him some money because he looks after us, doesn't he? With all these great facilities and backs me at everything I want to do. So the cup really is to try and win him some money and, you know, bring a bit of money into the club.
I think the fans were pretty impressive today as well. the Arno Territories, they were giving it full, giving it conquers.
I'm glad you actually said it, because today was the loudest I've seen the fans. I've been trying to put out a few messages, you know, in the last few weeks, haven't I? You know, we need the fans to come. We need them to come out in force now and keep getting louder, keep singing. That atmosphere when we come off, I've not seen that since I've been here. These fans are the best fans in the world. They are very loyal. They want to see this club do well, just like we all do. And if we stick together as a family, on and off the park, we'll achieve what we want to achieve. If not, we'll certainly try.
I think we've got to do it with our hands more than instruments. I've tried bugles, bells, guitars, and every time I take them, I'm told, take it home, will you? And yet we had to compete with the drummers today. So I think we don't need instruments. We've got the hands.
Yeah.
And our mouths.
We've got the hands and we've got the mouths. And that's what I mean. We see the passion. What you don't realise, it actually does give us a lift.
Great.
We mentioned you at half time that we felt we'd let you down with our performance. Not in digging out, but like digging it in, you know. But we mention you a lot in our team talks. We mention you a lot in training nights, because I do try and make this football club a one. I want everyone to be together. And I mean that when I say that. And the messages I had this week and what my team done for me on Tuesday, not being at the game, you know what I mean, just showed why I'm very emotional today, why I love this football club and I love this chairman, these players and these fans. And that's why I give you my heart and soul every single day of the week. And I tell you now, every single day of the week, I give you Bracknell Town my heart and soul. And I want to achieve at this football club. I want to take this football club to a level it's never been, and I will certainly fight every day to get you there.
Now, over to James the Captain Birdseye and Stephen the Gaffer Witty.
A very, very good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good wherever you're listening from. I'm James the Captain Birdseye, and you are listening to the Unofficial Robins Podcast. It's great to have your company. And I'm with Steve the Gaffer Witty. We're going to go and have a little chat about how the last games have been. A very good evening to you, Steve.
Good evening, James. How are you? Are you well?
Yeah, very
good. From Saturday.
Yeah, bit of a bad connection there, Steve. Just wondering if we can. How are you hearing me now?
Yeah, nice and clear, James. Nice and clear.
Oh, there we go. Good stuff. Good stuff. And so, how's things with you? How are you doing after what a game of game of football on Saturday and of course on Tuesday as well?
Well, it took me 24 hours after Saturday for my voice to fully recover. Following the general shouting, screaming and mayhem of, I would say, one of the more excitable games, I think, and one of the better atmospheres I think we've seen at Bracknell for this season so far. But no, otherwise doing well. Always better when you have, I would say, a week of two good sets of results.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, two very, very good results. And so I guess let's start with the first one, really, the Tuesday midweek game. Northwood. Went away to Northwood, didn't we? And what was your sort of initial thoughts with that game, Steve?
Well, I think the Northwood game, I think it's one of the first time. Well, I think it is the first time that we've played a team in the sort of bottom five this so far this season. So it was always going to be one that I don't think we was quite sure what to expect. And the performance of the team, and to be fair, the gulf between the two sides in terms of the standards of football was there to see.
Absolutely, and I think with all credit to Northwood, I think it really did show the gap very much between the sort of the top teams, which, you know, I think we can positively count ourselves in, and unfortunately the bottom of the division. I mean, they did seem to have a few moments of some nice play and a couple of nice players, but it really, unfortunately for them, they just didn't come out of the blocks, and I felt they were very much behind for the whole game. The only thing I would say is that I was surprised, really, that we didn't take more advantage when we could. I mean, a win's a win. Of course it is, and it's wonderful to have 3 points. But I did feel that there were some opportunities that possibly weren't taken. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Steve.
I think there was two sides, I suppose, to our striking performance. So, yes, I think in terms of the level of chances we created, particularly in the first half, but their keeper played superbly and was their man of the match by some way. We compare that with, you know, I would classify a number of spurned chances in front of goal, but then we talk about Dave Tarpey's finish for his goal, which was absolute quality.
Yeah, it absolutely was, wasn't it? And I totally agree. I think their keeper was excellent and should get plaudits for that because, it must be very difficult being in a club which is unfortunately in the position they are at the moment. And I must say as well, a really nice welcome, lovely... lovely club, lovely facilities as well, particularly the bar area I thought was very good. It was very relaxing. So it was a nice midweek game. Bit of a way to go, though, isn't it, North London? Bit of a way to go. And then, of course, Saturday, 3 o'clock, it was Basingstoke. Yep, and my word, did they bring a contingent and a half to Bodham Meadow, I mean, including a drum, which was pretty constant. But what a large amount of fans, and the atmosphere was just electric. I found it it was just wonderful to see.
Yeah, a crowd of 547 there on Saturday to watch the unbeaten Basingstoke against ourselves in terms of Bracknell. I think the Basingstoke fans made themselves heard. They outnumbered us. It's not very often you're at home and get outnumbered by the away fans. But saying that, you know, I think we ourselves, you know, had a little sing-song ourselves and made ourselves nice and vocal and in support of our team. And I think it showed a really good atmosphere. It was a really good game in terms of that. You know, I think that's what partly made the game, because the two sides themselves, I would say, neutralised themselves out in large parts of the game. You know, Basingstoke in midfield had control of large swathes of the game. I think we struggled to contain them in midfield. But saying that, I don't think our defence ever really looked threatened. As we've discussed at previous games, that organisational structure across that back four with sort of Scott and that sitting just in front of them, it worked really well.
I thought Danny Bayliss, as always, and we'll go on to the goal a bit later, but just a very, very solid at the back. And that really is what you need. Of course you need that at this level. And playing, you know, such excellent opposition as Basingstoke. I thought it was very, very impressive. So if we sort of go back to the start of the game, sort of the first half, what did you sort of notice and was generally impressed by either from the Basingstoke side or from us?
I think Basingstoke in midfield were very strong, and you could tell that, you know, pretty quickly when we had to make a sub in that first half to bring Max on to put an additional midfielder into the centre of the park, because we did look under some threat. I feel a little bit sorry for Mikel going off, because he didn't do anything wrong, but it clearly was just a tactical change.
Absolutely, and he did look a little bit upset when he went off. You know, I don't think it was any, it was nothing, you know, to write home about. But he definitely shouldn't feel in any way, in the fans' view or in our view anyway, you know, negative about his performance. It was an excellent performance, but it just, you know, purely tactical. It made sense for me to make that change. I agree. I think their midfield was very strong, and it made sense for our main captain, Max Herbert, to come on, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I think that did put a little bit more of a surety into our play. They were very much dominating us ahead of that move. It brought a little bit more evenness into the centre of the park. What was a little bit worrying was, of course, Ecott, our goalkeeper, going down. I think it was his ankle. And he was out, of course, for the previous game, of course, because of an ankle injury. So I think that was a bit of a reoccurrence. And you could see that he struggled a couple of times throughout the game. And I hope he's fit for the next game. So I know we've sort of got, you know, we've got Mark Scott coming, and we've got Wheeler in sort of reserve as well, but he's had a great start with us, and I hope
he really has, and I think, for, you know, it's a great position for Bobby to be in, the manager of Bracknell Town, to be in a position where he's literally got three keepers, you know, if they're all fit, to choose from, which is just excellent. It's a very good position, and Michael has done an extremely good job for us. He really has, in you know, it's since he's joined the club. So yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And we obviously got the first goal in.
I think it was
0-0 at half time. 0-0 at half time. I'm sorry. Do you know what the problem is with me? Is I get confused between the games. I should be organised, you see, and write a few things down, but I never am. But don't tell anyone. I get away with it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do tend to remember most things. So yeah. Half time, 0-0. I would say both sides neutralised each other out, and I think going into the second half, it was very similar. I think in that first part of the second half was their first real clear strikes on goal. And it wasn't really until, I would argue, up until sort of the 70th minute when suddenly the game changed on its head. A sending off by, I think it was their number six, I think it was, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Darryl Willers. Second yellow card.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it was, we were very much obviously calling for the booking, and you know, people were shouting, "Oh, it's going to be a red," and I was all a bit confused. I was like, "What? No, I mean, no, it's a booking, sure." But of course, you know, then we were informed, "No, it's his second yellow," and I was like, "Oh gosh, no, he is walking, absolutely."
Well, it was. We've got Mystic Paul McCready, who made a bit of a the first half, because in the first couple of minutes. He saw Wooler decided to sort of try and turn the ball and pass the ball nice and cleanly out of defence. He said, won't want to try that for 90 minutes with Dave Tarpey. And to be fair, it was a foul, I think, on Tarpey in the first half that got him his first booking. And of course, it was a foul on Tarpey in the second, where he sort of pushed him off the ball. It was a yellow card. Feel a little bit sorry for him to get a two yellows to a red, but that's the way football goes.
It does, yeah.
And it was from that resulting free kick and that sending off where, I think it was a good ball in. And there we have Temmie at the far post, one of our goal-scoring centre-backs, who was sort of free at the back post and headed it straight in, 1-0 Bracknell. And playing Basingstoke with 10 men. So that sort of 70th minute, whereas it had been a very even contest and a very neutral contest up to that, suddenly Bracknell absolutely on the front foot.
Absolutely. And then, of course, it was equalised by the opposition.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I think it was a little bit of a shame, because I think 1-0 up against 10 men, you would hope that Bracknell would have taken the decision to try and just control the ball, a bit of possession football. But for some unknown reason, we decided to sit back and we let the 10 men come on to us. And, you know, it wasn't a surprise, you know, when, how would I say, it was Anton Rodgers, of course, ex-Bracknell, by the way, who had a very good game in midfield, Anton Rodgers, he really did. You know, free kick, nice swing into the box, and there was Stephen Brown on the sort of, what was it, the, I think it was the 85th or 88th minute, I think it was, scored the equaliser. The Basingstoke fans went absolutely mental. Their bench
were screaming the place down, weren't they? I mean, all credit to them. They really, they did make some noise. Yeah, it was.
I don't think they expected to come from 1-0 down with 10 men against us, genuinely. So 1-1 was almost for them like stealing a point, despite the fact their performance had absolutely deserved the point.
Yeah, it did. It did.
But then from there, the next sort of 15 minutes are what makes a team, and the amount of confidence that their next 15 minutes will bring to the Bracknell boys, I don't think we could ever replicate, because we literally switched through about three or four gears.
I want to really agree with you on this point. And for me, you know, I've been watching Bracknell Town for maybe 3 years. You know, you've been watching for, you know, goodness, probably 50, 100, don't I? But for me, it was the most exciting 15 minutes of football that I can ever remember seeing live. And I mean, you know, and I mean everything from, you know, I've seen Premiership all the way down and everything else. The passion, the organisation, the will, the determination which those players showed for that amount of time was just awe-inspiring. And, you know, often we're always very honest on this pod, and we always want your views, as we always say. But there will be, we're maybe a bit lacking in midfield, maybe a bit lacking in defence sometimes, or, you know, our strikers need, whatever it may be. For those 15 minutes, it was absolute gold for me. It was gold dust. Everything worked, and it was just, as a fan, it was beautiful to watch. It really was.
And do you know what made it even more enthralling was, I'll be honest to say, I don't think our performance was great for 88 minutes. I genuinely thought, yeah, we were dominating in midfield. We'd done a good job of, nullifying their attack. But we weren't particularly at the races. I think every player would say that was an average performance for Bracknell against a strong Basingstoke side. But the moment they equalised, suddenly you could see it right the way across all 11 players on that pitch. Wait there, we're not gonna give points away here. And literally the whole pace of the game, the movement, the closing down, the passing, everything clicked. And you saw not just one gear, but from an average performance, we went through three or four gears. And it wasn't a surprise when Dan Bayliss scored that equaliser.
And seeing Bayliss, you know, what was so wonderful is that I could see him, where I was standing, I could see him, look at where it was, almost ready himself, and his position was absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. And I knew at that point, that's going to go in. Because Danny Bayliss is a goal machine. And he is. It was just magical. It was absolutely magical. And for me, there was almost that point in time where it hit the back of the net, everyone screaming, and there was at least a second where I couldn't quite believe it. And then, oh, wow. Yeah, just incredible. And the guys really, really deserve, you know, those 2 points more than they were going to get, because, as I say, that fighting spirit was utterly brilliant to watch.
And I think they need to, and when I'm talking about confidence for the team, if there's any moments during the season, Basingstoke, by the way, a good side, and genuinely, I think they're the of all the teams we've seen, I genuinely think they're going to give us the closest run this season based on what I saw on Saturday.
I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, before seeing them, I would have said, you know, Marlow, Hanwell, Uxbridge. Now, after seeing Basingstoke, I'm quite sure that that they will, they will be right up there, up there.
And if our boys can turn around and switch through the gears like that against them, there's no reason they can't do that against anybody. And it was desire, it was want, it was we are not giving away points. And even down to Dan Bayliss's header, okay, he ran in on that far post. There was no way at all he was not going to get to that ball. No way at all. And that was really what epitomised, I think, that last sort of 15 minutes for us. 2-1. Yeah, we got a little bit excited behind the goal. You'd almost thought we'd won the league. But I think, to be fair, it was from what we thought was a dire average 1-1 draw to get round to that 2-1 win. Against a team we recognised was of good standard. It was two unexpected points, and in the moment when you're chasing for a league title or hoping to chase for a league title, they can be pretty vital.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. And, you know, it was a total joy, and major, major congratulations to all of the team, you know, and obviously all the backroom staff, everybody involved in the club, and of course the gaffer as well. You know, just a brilliant, brilliant result. And we, you know, I think the thing we do is we really appreciated the entertainment. You know, it was proper entertaining football. And also to Basingstoke as well, and any Basingstoke fans that are listening, you know, they've been very kind, actually. We very much enjoyed having your company. And please do come again. That's very much obliged. So we have got to go and talk about the next game, haven't we? The next game, which is the FA Trophy, at Bottom Meadow.
Yeah, before we do that, though, do you mind if I make one final mention on the game?
Oh, go on, then. He's twisting my arm. Go on, Steve.
Delighted to see the real gaffer back.
Yes.
He was poorly midweek. I hope he's feeling 150% better. Didn't get to talk to him after the game.
Yes.
But from his reaction at the 90th minute or 95th minute, he looked well enough. So delighted he's back, and hope his health is perfect as soon as possible.
Yes, no, lovely, absolutely. We all the fans definitely send him all the best, and I'm very pleased that he's all back on his feet, all fine. Now, of course, before we do talk about the next game, we would love to have your views, and it's really, really important. You don't want to just hear us blubbing away. You know, we might be talking rubbish. Well, I definitely talk rubbish half the time. You can go and let us know what you think at unofficialrobins@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at Robins Podcast on Twitter. So at Robins Podcast or unofficialrobins@gmail.com. It will be so appreciative. And what we can do is we can say in the next episode what your views are. And we'd love to also know where you're listening from as well. We know we've got listeners all across the world, from the States, Australia. I got a lovely message actually from Dan, who lives in Idaho, and Dan said that his parents, unfortunately no longer with us now, but they lived in Sandhurst for many a year, and he went to Bracknell Town a couple of times as a boy. So it's lovely that that you're listening. So thank you so much. Do tell your friends all about us, and you know, and even if you're not a Bracknell fan, if you're just a non-league fan, we'd love to have you on board as well. So you know, you don't have to be a Robin. It's not a problem. You can always be an unofficial one. Well, we're all unofficial anyway. So, Steve, without further ado, the FA Trophy on Saturday, Sunday, 3 o'clock.
Tiverton. I think that's going to be quite a tough challenge for us. The good news is, because we've now got our tickets to the away game midweek for Guernsey, it does mean that we're not expecting to get to Wembley now, so we're not quite as disappointed if we do lose the game. but saying that, yeah, no, Tiverton Town, I think it's going to be a tough challenge. I'm trying to think who they beat in the last round. I think was it Was it Swindon, was it?
I literally can look as we speak. Yes, it was Swindon. Yes, it was Swindon Supermarine.
It was Swindon. Yes. That's all we played twice in pre-season. So they beat us, of course, quite well in pre-season and in one of the games, Swindon. So I think Timpson's going to be a tough ask against us. But, you know, look, I'm never going to back against Bracknell. You know, particularly after performances like that last 15 minutes against Basingstoke. So I'm expecting to just bring out our A game, give Tiverton a really good game, and then get ourselves warmed up and ready to fly to Europe, or sorry, Guernsey on the Wednesday.
Absolutely. Now, if you are thinking about coming to Guernsey, there's a few of us going. So there are a few of us going. And if you do want any details, then just drop me a line on the unofficial Robin's Facebook page, and we can go and give you sort of all the details and such like. But what we will do as well, I think, is we're going to try and do quite a bumper podcast if we can. I'm going to bring some of the recording gear with me. So for anyone that can't make it, then we'll try and give you a bit more detail of what's happening in the game if we can, because you know it's obviously you know it is a long way to go for that one. And, we totally understand that. And what we'll do as well is if there are any broadcasters that do broadcast the games in Guernsey, we'll let you know on the unofficial Robin's Facebook page as well.
The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans, come on the Robins.
Wherever they may go, we all follow the Robin.
Oh,